In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods. You shall not covet. These commands do not deal with your actions, but rather with your heart. They control what makes you tick. They show the proper motive behind every action and word. Governments cannot legislate your heart, but the one who created the heart can. This doesn't mean that you are to be a Christian outwardly only, but you are to be a Christian inwardly. Desire God above all things. Fear, love, and trust in God at all times. His love must have its way with you. So it really doesn't matter if your outward actions are good and beneficial to society. Neither does it matter if the actions of unbelievers are the same. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If the heart is not right, then the actions cannot save. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When times get tough and people or countries go through struggles, then hearts are revealed as people turn to their own gods. Understand, gods are not simply a different religion, but a god is whatever you fear, love, and trust in the most. Science holds great sway. Doctors and medicine are up there as well. Family is dearly loved and near the top, and probably also at the top, if not very close, is one's own life. When we are sick, is our first reaction to pray. When we get bad news from the doctor, do we first run to our heavenly divine physician of body and soul? When we are nervous, scared, uncertain, or even begin to worry, do we cast all our anxieties on the Lord? Often these things are an afterthought. How easy it is to exalt the medicine, the doctors, the family, the friends, even our life, because God works through these things to bless us. We have heard it said in recent weeks that regardless of our religion, whether Muslim, Hindu, or even Christian, we're all Americans. And while that is true, the meaning behind it was not quite true at all. They want us to disregard our religion and make that second to this country. That country must come first, and we should love it regardless of what our religion says. How easy it is to give in to such ideas just for the sake of peace. Our hearts can be torn. We are a saint of God, and yet we still are a sinner. The flesh hates God. It doesn't mind helping out. It doesn't mind doing good works. It doesn't mind being beneficial to society, even if it gets nothing in return, just so long as it feels good about itself and can pat itself on the back at the end of the day. Satisfaction is why most people do good works. They feel good. The heart constantly, or the sinful flesh constantly tugs at our heart. Little by little, like a persistent child, it pulls us until we finally give in. It lives by its desires. It does whatever it wants when it wants. It will not always go straight for the jugular or the knockout, but it eats around the edges at seemingly unimportant matters until finally it has devoured the entire heart. It may be fun to do what we want for a time, just as it is fun to eat a bunch of candy throughout a day. But in the end, it will only ruin you. Idolatry is not simply having a different religion. It's a matter of the heart. It's trusting in something else more than you trust in God. And so it's that first sin of Adam and Eve perpetuated even among us from time to time. Simply put, to live by your desires is to make yourself God. Return to the Lord, your God, and beg him to give you an undivided heart that you may fear, love, and trust in him above all things. When the heart is right, then the actions will be good. When the first commandment is kept, when our hearts desire only God and covet nothing else, then the rest of the commandments simply fall in line. Desire God above all things. Fear, love, and trust in him. Have no other place, no other room in your heart for anything but God. He is not simply to get part of your heart or most of it while spouse or children take up the rest, but he is to have your entire heart. His love must have its way with you. Love him alone. And disregard everything else. Yes, disregard your family and your spouse and your country and your friends and your doctors and medicine and everything else. For anyone who places these things above God or even equal to God is not worthy of God. And yet still God uses these things to take care of us. He still uses doctors and medicine to care for our bodies and heal us. He still uses family and friends to comfort us when we are hurting. He still uses food to keep us strong. So our Lord is not directing us to physically give up all these things, or else we would literally be left with nothing. But we give them up with our hearts. He alone has control of our hearts. We don't need the comfort. Even without relationships, even without food, we are still content because we have the Lord, and he is enough. So we are willing to give up any of these things because we do not know when our Lord will call us to lay down them once and for all. You see a faithful example of that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had titles and positions of power in the most prosperous country of the day, Babylon. And yet they considered all of that worthless for the sake of Christ. They were willing to part with their titles, their families, their riches, their authority, all for the sake of Christ. They feared the judgment of God more than the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. They loved God more than they loved their families, and they trusted that God would take care of their families without them, even as he had taken care of them before. They trusted that God would bring them safely into his heaven. And so their hearts were undivided. They loved God and God alone. Wholeheartedly, they were dedicated to the Lord. The flesh hates God, but the Spirit living in us loves God above all things. He trusts and submits to God, constantly pulling us in the direction of his holy word. He reminds us what is good and right for us, so that we live by his word and not by our every desires. We desire the word. We desire God alone. We desire his sacraments, for through these means of grace, our God comes to us, granting us his blessings. We do not do whatever we want, but we do whatever God has directed us to do. And we trust that he will take care of us and our family and our friends in the same way that he took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Probably not exactly the same way, but nevertheless, that God who stood in that fire is our God, and he loves us just as much as he loves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we're not so much concerned about our lives, or even about our kids' lives, as we are concerned with the proper confession of our faith. Our future rests in God's hands, and no king can ever take it away from us. Our kids' future rests in God's hands as well. So cling to God and God alone. Grasp him and do not let go. Be willing to let go of everything else that you have, even your dear children or spouse. For you do not know when God will finally call you to let go of it at the moment of death. Could be tonight or 50 years from now. Never let go of God, even if it costs you everything. Desire Him, love Him with all your heart. He alone is your comfort, He alone is your consolation. Entrust yourself completely to Him and do not hold back or second guess. Often when we hear commands and laws, we think that they are restricting us somehow. They're trying to take away our fun, to bind us from doing the things we want to do. And since the fall, man has an innate aversion to any law or authority. We don't like authorities. And yet these two commands of God, to have no other gods but Him and to do not covet, are gracious, loving commands given by your God to you. For what other God can save you? What other God, whether family or self or medicine or doctors, what other God can save you from those eternal fires? Only the one who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Never does He leave you, never does He forsake you. He will not ignore you, but He has taken your place in that fire to suffer your punishment so that you might walk out unbound and without a single hair on your head singed, without the smell of smoke even from your clothes. Never will you suffer even an ounce of God's punishment or wrath, for Christ has suffered it all for you so that you might go out free. And not only be set free, but be exalted. Not to some position in a province somewhere in Babylon, but exalted to the very right hand of God to reign with Christ forever and ever. What other God can save you like that? So desire only Jesus. He is your God who has saved you from eternal death. He is your God who continues to be with you as you go through good times and bad. These commandments are not trying to take away your fun or restrict you. They restrict and bind your flesh. But the gospel has set you free so that you see this God as none other than your beloved Savior who dies in your place. He longs to fill you with His love. So trust in Him. Trust in Him alone. For this God has redeemed you and given you all that you have. This is the same God who stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. And now He fills your heart completely, and there is no room for another. And so with the psalmist, we also confess, "Whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.